Any question? And so we'll move forward with this. If the board has any questions or the public want anything to add, go from there.
Natalie, would you like to add anything to that?
Nope, that was very succinct. I'm happy to answer any questions if you have specific queries about any part of the grant. We'll definitely be moving forward very quickly with everything. We do need to expend all the grant dollars by June 2024. So I know there was a discussion earlier about some of the dumping impacts from one particular person. And so those types of things are what we'll have some additional resources to together, you know, improve and beautify the peninsula. So nothing more to add unless you have specific questions. And thank you for partnering on this.
Thank you. Commissioner Newman, any questions?
Nope. I think it's anything.
Commissioner Coleman? No,
just fully in favor. Thanks.
Commissioner Marks?
I just want to thank Natalie for the improvements that have been made in the peninsula already and ones to be made in the future. Thank you.
I second that. So now I'd like to offer any comments or any suggestions from the public who would like to comment on this item. Please signify us by raising your hand or speaking out. See or hear any. All right, so we're going to take go to Larry for a vote.
Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
Commissioner Newman.
Yes.
Coleman.
Yes.
President Dale.
Yes. All right, moving on to 11B, update on Woodley Island Marina dredging needs.
Yes, I'm going to turn this over to Doug Sicato, our natural resource coordinator, and he's going to give an update on dredging, and then I'll chime in a little bit. But I wanted to first off formally introduce you to Doug. He's been a great addition to our staff, and really, with his engineering talents and other things, he's really hit the ground running on the Spartina eradication project, really helping the dredging project, as well as kind of a lot of work on Fields Landing and some of the other areas, in addition to really working with the agencies on Small Lagoon. And so it's really already starting to have a big impact. I'd like to just turn it over to Doug to give us an overview of our plans on dredging.
Thanks for that introduction, Larry. This was a presentation provided internally and sharing it today, basically giving an overview of the plan for dredging the Woodley Island Marina in 2023. So in general, the district has a goal of dredging to develop and implement a cost-efficient and predictable strategy to dredge the marina and to facilitate beneficial reuse of those sediments. The objective is to dredge the least amount of material to allow the fleet to utilize the marina at low tide without draft restrictions. And below you'll see some motivation why dredging is a priority in the near future. I've spent time in the last couple months reviewing the permits that have been put in place by my predecessors. Looking at the U.S. Army Corps, the North Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board, and the Coastal Commission, we have permits in place to do dredging and take those sediments to HUDs, the Humboldt Offshore Open Ocean Disposal Site. We also have amendments in place to do dewatering at RMT2, including a California Coastal Commission, CDP, to construct two dewatering basins. And those dewatering basins were used through June of 2022 and still remain. So those permits provide various constraints on our ability to dredge. We have conditions and special conditions, but operationally, the main constraints here is that we can dredge up to 100,000 cubic yards per year or 300,000 cubic yards over 10 years. So that really limits the amount of dredge material that we could remove and motivates the need for prioritizing a dredging strategy rather than going 14 feet below mean low water, basically tearing the system or the areas by various regions, and I have a map of that coming up. Based on these dredge regions, there was a survey done in, I believe, June of 2022. Do I have that on there? And the current estimate for dredge volumes is about 75,000 cubic yards. Someone else has control here. If we were to dredge the entire marina down to 14 feet, we were looking at 142,000 cubic yards, which really highlights the benefit of having variations in our dredge depth throughout the marina to basically right-size the dredging to the fleet that we typically see here. As a sensitivity, we also looked at the possibility of what happens if we went to minus 15 feet with a 1 foot over dredge. That comes out to about 165,000 cubic yards. So this is the result of the survey that was done in July of 2022, correction there. And I put some labels here so you could kind of see where the ends of the docks are. Previous dredging focused more in the areas here in 2018 and 2020. And you can see that there is a dire need for dredging in these other fairways as well. So some remarks about the dredge volumes reported. The dredge volumes under docks and between fingers are currently estimated. The surveyor did not go in between the fingers or under the docks. So that's data was interpolated. And the dredge volumes reported don't currently include the end ties or the end of the docks. And a request was made for those volumes, and we expect some numbers mid-September, maybe a little bit later, on what that would mean. So there's a dredging strategy put in place. And essentially, we're going to be using dredging depths outlined in attachment A, which, well, that's great, which I can't pull up currently. And just to re-highlight, the dredging that occurred in 2018 and 2020 included the fairways between D and E, E and F, and C and D. And the dredging occurred in those fairways in both of those years, 2018 and 2020. So I apologize for the busyness of this graphic, but this shows the set of polygons or cells that we've delineated within the marina for dredging that we've used to calculate what volumes are there to dredge to the target depths. As an example, this area here is denoted as between breakwater and dock A to 13 feet. This region is the basically the end between breakwater and A, dredged down to 14 feet. And I was going to present a table of what the dredge volumes are for each of those areas, but that's not going to work currently, so we'll just move on to that. A summary of the schedule moving forward. In October of this year, we have a meeting schedule with the Army Corps and the US EPA to discuss disposal at Hoods. Given our dredging history and the frequency of sediment sampling, there's a possibility that we could get a tier one decision, which my understanding is wouldn't require us to do additional sampling for this next dredge episode. If we do need to sample, that would happen later this year. We're targeting January through March to develop our request for proposals and send those out to the contractors, with a contractor selection happening April, May time period. There's a set of deliverables that the contractor will need to supply to the Army Corps as part of the conditions and special conditions of the permits. And that would happen in May, June. And then the dredge window occurs through July through October. And then finally, we would wrap out the project in October of 2023 with closeout documents, post-dredge surveys, those sorts of things. So, Larry, you want to take it over?
Yeah.
Okay.
We came up with the strategy, the subcommittee of really looking at this. I think the bottom line is the table that Doug brought up is just that if you look at all of those different cells that you have, it's approximately 75,000 cubic yards of material that we could dredge the entire marina, and it would be 75,000 cubic yards of material. Our permit allows us to do up to 100,000 cubic yards of material. That's just in a nutshell. But the deal is when you go out to bid, the contractor can't get to the exact depth because it's underwater. And so the permit allows for 1 foot of overground. And when we put out the contract, it basically says the payment method would be we would pay up to 1 foot of overdraft. So from the budgeting perspective, you have to plan for 1 foot of overdraft. You have to plan for that calculation. And so within the tables that are in your packet, what it says, if we take out that 75,000 cubic yards of material, and then we plan for the 1 foot of overdraft, it's actually approximately 99,000 cubic yards of material, just under that 100,000 cubic yards of material. Now, what Doug was saying, there's a little bit of fudge that we need to do because we don't have the entire calculations right at this point in time. We get them within the next couple weeks, and some of the stuff that's underneath the slips, you know, we're not 100% confident at that level. But I was shocked, quite frankly, to say that we could dredge the whole marina and get it under the 100,000 cubic yards. But those are the numbers that we're really looking at. And so last time the last two times we dredged, it was basically $26 a cubic yard. And if we dredge 100,000 cubic yards, and then we were kind of looking at the high of what the high might be, say it would be $32 a cubic yard, would be about $3.2 million. To do the surveys, is historically we were paying the pre and post surveys was like $15,000, it might be up to $30,000. Now, and the mobilization was around 600,000 to 900,000. So it kind of goes to give you what the total cost range would be to dredge. And then what's also included in the dredge fund balance and the float replacement fund balance. One of the things that we were looking at is how do we reduce that mobilization cost and reduce the mobilization cost by partnering with other agencies and other areas that want to dredge at the same time. It just happens that the Coast Guard is planning to dredge next year. And so Doug and our staff have been in communication with the Coast Guard, and we're trying to coordinate with them if we can do a planned dredging together to reduce the mobilization costs down and sort of begin to slow those costs. We also want to talk with the city of Eureka and the other people to see if we can do this at the same time to help to reduce the mobilization costs and reduce, hopefully, the more volume. You attract a contractor that's going to be here for a longer time period, and you can reduce that per unit cost down. And so then we really have looked at this, then how are we going to pay for this? Really, it gets down to the bottom line. How are we going to pay for this? Let me back up for 1 second. In the first place, as the committee knows and the board knows, there's been a lot of work. We have all our permits. We have all the ducks in the row. We increased the dredge surcharge fee to the tenants. We've been collecting the money, putting it aside, but it's still not enough. And we knew it wasn't going to be enough. And so then we've been discussing with about getting the potential to get a loan. And so we received a proposal from a firm and basically presented to them the amount of money that we collect from the dredge surcharge fund, which is approximately $200,000 from Liberty Island Marina and $15,000 from the Fields Line Boat Yard. So $250,000. If we were to leverage that $215,000, then could we borrow money to dredge? And so at your next meeting, if this is something that you're interested in, we'd like to come back with kind of a funding strategy for the dredging of how we might be able to really accomplish this. And of course, we're going to look at other mechanisms of funding and financing and how could we reduce costs over time. We're not asking the board to commit to do anything tonight. This is really kind of giving you an overview of, in the first place, the conditions that are out there. At when we're at a minus tide, the boats are sitting in mud. That's the bottom line. And when in particular sailboats and commercial fishing vessels, the larger fleet. You know, when it's commercial fishing time, crab season, and you got to go, you got to go. I mean, it's a problem for these vessels. And so to me, there's no doubt we have to dredge. It really is how much are we going to dredge? And what is our capacity to get this done? And so
within this overall dredging strategy, we think that with the finances that the district is in now, that the repayment of some of the debt service that we've had, you know, some of the tenants that we've had, is that we feel like we're really close to being in the position of pulling this off in this next year. The last point that I want to kind of bring it up before I turn it over to the board to see if you have any questions is we're really thinking in terms of the next time that we might dredge, right? If say we dredge this year, then what is the next opportunity to dredge? With the new terminal project that we're working on getting the permits on, is we're planning to do a significant dredging event, and that could occur in approximately 2025, 2026 time period, right? And so if we dredge this year, it's possible that we could lower the volume of dredging this year and then plan another dredging event in the 25, 26 time period, and then coincide that with the RMT dredging event that's going on. And so really kind of looking and with our team of analyzing these different strategies, and Mindy and all of our staff have met with the financing people, and the subcommittee has met a couple of times on this. And so I'm gonna be quiet and kind of, if I could turn it over to Aaron on the dredge subcommittee to see if he has anything else to add.
Just very, very excited and hopeful, knowing as a commercial fisherman, knowing the dire need, and the idea that we're planning on developing a process here, as opposed to in the past where it was a 10-year dredge cycle that ended up being 15 years, and we're in a position like this every 10 years. The last dredging in 2007, I was involved as a president of the marketing association, and at that point, we were right where we are now. People were getting stuck and navigating a vessel that's hitting the bottom is dangerous. You no longer have control, and property damage can occur. People get hurt. So it's time to get this done. The fleet really would appreciate it. Looks good.
Mr. Coleman? Comments, suggestions?
No, I appreciate the report, and you know, I appreciate that we're looking at doing this as soon as we can, and would, you know, we'll have to look at the funding plan and all that, but I'd recommend getting as much as we're able to get out of there at this point instead of trying to defer it another couple years for the possible collaboration. And so, you know, I'd like to, based on the funding plan and what we can do, but and as we all know, this is well overdue, and we really need to get it down now and continue to do it, and then also continue to work on the beneficial reuse of the material, because obviously the costs and effort of bringing it out the hoods makes no sense. And since Pat's not here today, I could rail about that a little bit, but no, I'll let it go.
Thank you. Richard.
How many cubic yards of material did we have sediment reuse last time? How much?
8,000.
Thank you.
Well, I meant to ask, I'm sorry, jump back in, but are we getting close to that 300,000 limit as well?
No, we probably only.
I can't tell you the exact, we've only dredged less than 25,000 cubic yards total. And so we've got plenty of capacity.
That's not our worst.
Yeah, that's not our concern.
Our last two events were very small.
Yeah. Yes.
So my only comment is I loathe to borrow money to do this, because the minute you go borrow $4 million to do this, we'll have a storm and it'll fill right back up the day after we get done dredging. That's just the way that works when you borrow money. But I think we need to figure out a way of doing it. And if we have to borrow money, we will consider it. Any comments on the, I'm assuming the board is done talking. Any comments from the public on dredging Woodley Island? Please signify by raising your hand or speaking out. Seeing none. That's just a report, so we're an update. So we're moving on to item 11C. Consider introducing amendment number 4 to ordinance number 5, an amendment to ordinance establishing fees for commissioners of the Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District.
Yes, we have evaluated the fees, and the fees haven't been updated since the 1990s. And so staff is recommending that you adopt amendment number 4 to ordinance number 5, which would make all of the commissioners' salaries $600 per month, and which would go up from $400 a month for commissioners and $500 for the board president, and instead just make them all $600. And this is the dollar amount that is included in the Harbors and Navigation Code. It says up to $600 in the Harbors and Navigation Code.
Okay. Any comments from the board? Request comments? Mr. Marks.
You wait until I announce my retirement on the board, and then you raise the rate.
You get $1.50 an hour instead of $1 an hour.
Now he wants to be a write-in.
As a commissioner leaving the board, I think this is a fair thing to do, especially with as many projects as we've had in the last few years, and the actual, you know, projects we have coming in the future. It's taken up a lot of time. I know it, you know, I've had to come in quite a bit. Greg, I know you have. So I think this is only fair. We're talking only $200. It's not that much, but it is, you know, I think it should be done. And I'm leaving, and I'm still going to support this. Like taxpayer money, hopefully will help pay for that.
Thanks, Richard. Any other comment from the board?
No, I would say I agree, though. It hasn't been increased in, what is it, having here, like since the early 90s. And back just when you were a kid, Greg.
Yeah.
And, the complexity of the projects that we're dealing with now and the amount of time and, you know, attracting. It's still not, I think any of us are doing this for the money, but I think it makes sense. And so I'll make a motion actually to introduce amendment number 4 to ordinance number 5.
I'll second that.
So I have a motion and a second. Brian?
Stephen, if you don't mind just clarifying that the introduction would be by title only.
I clarify such that it's by title only.
The second recognizes the still second.
So do I need to read it again? Read it in? Okay. You're okay. Any comments or discussion from the audience? Anybody like to speak on item number 10 or 11C, commissioner fees? Seeing none, Larry, I'm going to bring it back to you.
Commissioner Coleman.
Yes.
Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
Commissioner Newman.
Yes.
And President Dale.
Yes. All right. Moving on to item 11D, consider adoption of resolution number. Commissioner Coleman, would you like to step out or are you?
No, okay. I decided I'm going to stick around a little longer trying, especially okay. For this next item at least.
Earn a $600.
Consider. Consider adoption of resolution number 2022-11, responding to the 2021-22 grand jury report, The Sea Also Rises.
Thank you. Make a motion to adopt the resolution.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any report?
If you'd like a report, I've got one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me, please.
Okay. All right. So the grand jury issued a report. Sea Ulcer Rises was issued earlier this year to us, the county, city of Arcata, and Eureka. It's an investigation of sea level rise around Humboldt Bay, looking at a number of past studies. And in that, they request a response to five of their findings. And for each of those, we have to say whether we agree, partially agree, or disagree. And then they also request the response to two of the recommendations where we have to say we're either going to implement those recommendations or not. We did staff interjurisdictional coordination on this, talking to senior staff at all of the other three entities. And
which were?
Which are the county, city of Arcata, city of Eureka.
And the Harbor District.
And the Harbor District. So staff from all four organizations got together, and the resolution before you is nearly identical to the resolution of the other community. So we collaborated between the four entities and wrote these resolutions together. So here is what staff recommends and what is in the resolution. For finding three, it effectively says that the four jurisdictions need to agree to cost sharing for staff salaries and operational overhead in order to undertake efforts to adapt to sea level rise and to mitigate for impacts of sea level rise. Staff disagrees with that in all four jurisdictions. Budget decisions should not be made in this way. It's grand jury to dictate to the local jurisdictions how to budget their staff expenditures. And the reason that, you know, the reason that we disagree with this is this kind of collaboration that they're calling for does not require budgetary intermingling between the city of Eureka, city of Arcata, the county, and the Harbor District. We can accomplish what they're seeking without intermingling our budgets. It creates unnecessary complexities and that would get in the way of the ultimate goal. So the resolution disagrees with that finding. Finding four is that the costs associated with sea level rise mitigation will be significant and require diligent pursuit of various other state and federal grant funds. We agree. We've been actively pursuing those. As far as I can find back in our records, the Harbor District applied for sea level rise related grants at least 10 years ago at the earliest and potentially earlier. So we have been actively doing that. Finding five. There's an urgency to start developing and implementing solutions to sea level rise. We agree. We've been actively working on it. We work on it nearly every day. Finding eight, sea level rise has the potential to transfer contamination from former industrial sites into the bay, wetlands, and creeks. We agree. And you know, the Harbor District has been the leader in the region on this effort to clean up contaminated sites and plans to continue to do so into the future. Both cities have spent a lot of energy in this. The county has as well, but clearly the Harbor District has put a lot of effort into this already, and we will continue to do so. Finding nine, levees and other related infrastructure will be overtopped by 2050 if no action is taken, which could lead to repeated flooding of existing infrastructure. We agree, though I think it's worth pointing out that without sea level rise, our levees are already in compromised position. They're old. They need maintenance. And so with or without sea level rise, this would be true. It's only that much more true with sea level rise. It's a complex topic, and we acknowledge the vulnerabilities exist with or without sea level rise. And it's also worth noting that this assumption is based on the unrealistic assumption that no action has been taken or will be taken in the future to address these issues. So the finding actually says levees will be overtopped by 2050. Well, they won't if we plan ahead and work on it and make sure that that doesn't happen.
They already are being.
Yeah. Recommendation one was for the board to vote to affirm a commitment to adapting and mitigating the adverse effects of sea level rise and to direct staff to make this a commitment and a priority in staff planning efforts. So we agree, and you can do that by adopting the resolution before you. Recommendation two is that the district board should work with elected officials from other jurisdictions to form a Humboldt-based sea level rise steering committee composed of senior members from each entity who have decision-making authority by December of this year. It's worth noting that when I was at the city of Eureka and Larry was at the city of Arcata, we already had a committee like this going with Director Ford. And even the previous director of the Harbor District was involved. So a similar type of committee has been on and off for quite a long time, 6-7 years. So this is recommending that something is formally reestablished by the end of this year. And your commitment to that is presented in the resolution before you. So our recommendation is to adopt that resolution, and it addresses everything that the grand jury asks us to address, with that one disagreement that we should intermingle our budgets with other jurisdictions.
Thanks, Rob. Any discussion from the board? Commissioner
Mark? I want to thank Rob for putting that report together and clarifying what the recommendation for the resolution was.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you for that report. I was concerned about that first recommendation, but the way you explained it made sense. So, yeah, obviously, this is an extremely high priority. So, thank you.
Very much agree. It's a high priority. Thank you, Rob. And also thank members of the grand jury.
So, I completely agree with everything said so far. I think we were well on our way prior to the COVID kind of stasis in government communication, in government, period. I think that there was a pretty decent plan in place on how to move forward. I think the county is instrumental in it. And I think will that be a committee from the district, from elected, or is that just staff that will be on your committee for Rec 2?
It will be up to each jurisdiction who they send, but we'll coordinate with the various staffs to see what the other jurisdictions are doing, and then can come back to you. But I imagine it would be no more than two of the board members here if board members were involved, so it would be like an ad hoc committee. I would definitely recommend that staff is on it at the very least.
Right? Or maybe the commissioners don't need to be on it. I'm not positive
that seems like an option, but having just elected officials doesn't seem like,
I agree. Something,
I would not recommend that.
I agree. I think the people that were working on it when I was a part of it, and the stakeholder groups that were a part of the process, I thought they were doing a really good job. It just kind of got stalled during our COVID period.
So I'd just like to add that I believe it's at your next meeting. There will be a presentation from the County of Humboldt. Is that correct? At the next meeting?
In the October, the regularly scheduled October meeting, there's a presentation by the county on a really spectacular sea level rise adaptation project.
Awesome. And then I wanted to just add that when we talk about the new terminal project, is that it has a major sea level rise adaptation component. And so when Rob says that we're working on it every day, that is truly, we're working on it every day on sea level rise adaptation. But again, it's from a standpoint of how do we continue to do the port operations and the commercial and recreational fishing fleet and all of these amenities that we have around the bay. We cannot relocate these facilities. And so we're going to have to adapt our facilities to sea level rise adaptation for these coastal dependent uses that we have in and around the bay. And so we are actively working on this constantly.
I will refrain from saying that as a former shellfish farmer, the more things covered in water, the better. But I think this is I will take it to the public now. If there's any
I'm not sure that includes the finding about the contaminants around the bay, that we want those covered with water.
No, we certainly don't. We certainly have those, and all parties have been. I think you need to include the State Water Board, the Regional Board, Cal Fish and Game have all been pretty diligent about pursuing solutions for some of those sites around our watershed. Is that all from the board? Anyone from the public that would like to discuss or comment on resolution 2022-11? Seeing none, Larry, I'll bring it back to you.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Commissioner Newman?
Yes.
Commissioner Coleman?
Yes.
And President Dale?
Yes. All right, moving to 11E, consider adoption of resolution 2022-08, thereby adopting a property acquisition and disposition plan for the multipurpose marine terminal master plan and CEQA determination. Ryan wrote that one again, didn't he?
That was me again.
That was you?
Yeah.
Your words are
Ryan. I'm trying to break my record. All right, so you are, I imagine, very familiar with this master plan graphic. So a little bit of background about this disposition plan. So the district develops that multipurpose marine terminal master plan that I showed on the previous slide. In order to implement that plan, the district is going to need to engage in various forms of property exchange. We're going to need to lease properties owned and controlled by others. We're going to need to lease to others properties that are owned and controlled by the district. Fee title ownership, purchase or sale, easements and rights of way, both directions, licenses, et cetera. There's going to be various forms of property exchange needed to enact and implement that master plan. To comply with the Surplus Lands Act and to ensure full disclosure for the public, the district has developed a property acquisition and disposition plan, which we're calling the disposition plan to shorten it. So when I refer to the disposition plan, I'm referring to the acquisition and disposition plan. Acquiring and then disposing of lands as presented in the disposition plan, which is attached to the resolution that's before you, will promote commerce and coastal industrial development, thereby furthering the district's trust purposes as outlined in the Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation Conservation District Act of 1970. So let's talk about those trust purposes for a moment. Well, first, here's that master plan. Here's a parcel overlaid. There are 163 parcels in this master plan area. And let's see if, yep. So this was originally two owners operating two mills and going back into the late 1800s. And there were a lot of infrastructure utilities developed and shared between these two mills and various property owners over time with no formal agreements. This is now down, everything in this view here is down to 14 current owners and 163 parcels. And there's a lot of legacy rights of way easements, utility corridors that aren't formally recorded, and they'll need to be formally recorded. And so in order to implement this master plan, there may be need to be easements or rights of way in various locations throughout this area that will need to be recorded. So that's part of this disposition plan. And so while the vast majority of the project site and even the Nordic site is in a very small handful of parcels, there are 163 parcels in this master plan area that are in this list. And because of the need for potential future easements, that's why there's so many listed here. So the district's trust purposes. District was created by the state to fulfill a range of trust purposes centered on advancing the development of Humboldt Bay. That enabling legislation indicates that these trust purposes empower the district to grant, franchise, lease, permit, or purchase property. So this plan is within the trust powers of the district. To implement the master plan and fulfill those trust purposes, we're going to have to acquire and dispose portions of the property. And those actions will thereby promote commerce and coastal industrial development, thereby furthering our trust purposes. So this is in your master, in the exhibit one of the resolution before you. And if we just zoom in, I can show you what this looks like here. So, it's a list of parcels and the current owner. Even those 163 parcels, there's only 14 total owners. A couple of few CEQA considerations. In compliance with CEQA guidelines, future development of the master plan area is contingent on CEQA review. So if the district enters into any leases or disposes of any property, the district will include provisions to ensure that those kinds of agreements do not allow development that's not exempt from CEQA or approved in a CEQA document. Those agreements will not allow for any change to the intensity, density, or type of uses that are not exempt or covered by CEQA. Those leases will not commit the district to a project, will not restrict the district from denying a project, and would not limit the district's choice of mitigation measures or alternatives, including a no project alternative. So in another way to say this whole slide here is what's presented to you is compliant with CEQA. And our recommendation is to adopt the resolution, which thereby adopts the disposition plan. Yes. And then if adopted, this resolution and the accompanying plan would be transmitted to the State Housing Community Development Department, which oversees the Surplus Lands Act state law that requires public entities to disclose when they plan on selling property or leasing property to make sure that we're not diminishing the possibility of housing development. And as these, you know, as these lands, you know, are coastal dependent industrial, they're not suitable for housing, but it's still a procedure that we'll follow through.
Any questions, discussion from the board?
Thanks for doing the due diligence.
You good? All right, any discussion or comments from the audience? I would love to hear someone speak to this. Anybody care to speak on the adoption of Resolution 2022-8, our property acquisition and disposition resolution? Please signify by raising your hand or saying aye. Looks like we don't have any talkers tonight. So I'll bring it back to the board. I have a motion and a second.
Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
Commissioner Newman.
Yes.
Commissioner Coleman.
Yes.
And President Dale.
Yes.
So that was the last item.
That is the last item. Any future agenda items you'd like to see on here?
I'm sure, but I'll bring them up later.
Well, we are considering going to two meetings a month for the next foreseeable future because we've got so much going on. So we will be meeting more often in the next couple of months. Thanks, Doug. And I would like a future agenda item, just an update on the pre-permitting project, where we're at on that, and one on the an update on the intake for the public to hear. Other than that, I think we are adjourned. You got anything you want to hear about? All right, I'm sure Patrick will have fish stories for us next time he's here. Thanks, you guys. Have a good week, good weekend. We are adjourned. See?